the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We about to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, brother?
What's going on, Marcus? How you doing this evening? How you doing this evening? You doing all right?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I was just watching some Caitlin Clark versus the Washington Mystics before we came on tonight. So, yeah.
She's,
Growing up, I used to watch WNBA here and there, but, you know, it's this rookie class, her, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, the girl for the LA Sparks who just tore her ACL last night.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's a damn shame. But, yeah, this rookie class, I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy with it all, but this rookie class really brought some, like, little enthusiasm and spice and something that the NBA is lacking. I know people want to knock on, oh, you know, the girls in the NBA are unfair to Caitlin Clark. You know what? I actually like that they're seemingly not friends with each other, because I think that's something that's lost in the NBA now, where all these guys are friends with each other. And it's like, come on, show some, like, you know, it's just some heat on the court. Some guys do that. Russell Westbrook's really good when it comes to that. You know, if you're not on the same team with him, he's not going to talk to you during the game. After the game, he'll talk to you, but during the game, you're an enemy. And that's the way I like it. WNBA's got a little of that spice, and NBA's been lacking that.
Yeah, you know what, man? All of this, like you said, controversy, all this mess is going on with this whole situation with her. I love good basketball, and she's brought good basketball to the game. Angel Reese brought good basketball to the game. Like you said, this young class of new players in WNBA has brought some exciting things to the game, and they should be celebrated for it in every part of it. And I do believe a lot of it is the challenge of it. I think when everything was happening, when we talk about collegiately, when they were speaking to Taurasi, I forget who else she had with, I think it was Sue Bird. And so when they were having the discussion, they was like, listen, like, all that she's doing in college is not going to go. Like, she's still got to earn her stripes up here. And rightfully so. That's how it works. It in every sport, it's going to work that way. Like, nobody's just going to let you come and be given superstar status immediately until you earn it. And so I think what they're doing is they welcome her to the WNBA and they just let her know it's not going to be an easy ride. And so some of the things that she was able to get away with in college is not going to happen now. Same thing they're doing to Angel Reese Brinks from Stanford.
Yep.
You know, but they're very talented women for sure. So I just love the sport. I love the competitiveness of it. I think more people are taking it to a different realm that it needs to be. And I see the same old actors doing the same old bad deal. They always want to, you know, fuss about this or fuss about that, or this race, or it's not, you know, always that. I heard Whitlock say something about Angel Reese was like one of the most less athletic players in the WNBA. I'm like, really? You know, somebody sent it to one of my boys. Maybe he was on a text feed, and I seen it. I said, man, he just lost his mind thinking something like that. Seriously. It's, you know, because you're not expecting Angel Reese to start shooting threes out there. look, if she's getting rebounds, if she's scoring from the inside in the paint, then that's what she does. And you're going to take away from a Dennis Rodman for being a character like that, right? Or yeah. Draymond Green, or maybe, shoot, who are you going to say, Akeem Olajuwon? Let's say, you know, the post game don't have to have always the prettiest of games, but she's very effective. Yeah. Double-double, she's been incredible this entire season. And so is Caitlin. Caitlin's been doing a good job, man. I think criticism from either one of these girls or anybody who's in the NBA right now, man, is not warranted. I think it's all silly. I really do.
Well, plus, when Jason Whitlock's calling anybody unathletic, it's like, okay, buddy, let's take a seat here. Let's take a look in the mirror, okay, before you start calling people unathletic. So,
I know it, man. So, it's shock jock, man. It, you know, it's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. But, yep. Hey, man, yep. that I think it's what people like hearing. You know, for us, at least in this controversy, we're not about all that silliness and controversy, man. We try to talk the truth and the business about ideas. With a very sober mind about things. So that's what I'm doing. JD, what about Manute Bol shooting threes? Hey, the joke was able to do it, right? I couldn't knock you for it. And the thing is, it always looked crazy, but he knocked it down like, okay, he got a skill set. But that goes for Wemby now, right? A guy that has the length and his size, this was going to come to fruition. And Manute Bol was just ahead of his time, the things he was able to do. And then while I'm talking to I'm the Brown, my band, I'm the Brown, what's up? To everybody else in the chat, about time, Sandman, Maria, Charles Driver, how's everybody doing? How's everything going y'all evening, man?
I don't know. I'm done, but you might want to replace those fire emojis with some poop emojis.
Well, I'll say this. So, you know, I played it. Everybody knows I played in Philly, okay? So when I was in Philly, when you're talking about the medium, okay, sports writers were absolutely bananas and crazy. I was used to that. I was absolutely used to that. And the only one that really that did any of that when I got to Kansas City was Whitlock. And I was like, man, Whitlock's almost like a baby writing compared to the Philly writers.
That's true.
You know, so
And talk radio was huge in Philly comparatively to Kansas City, where you had a lot of those shock shocks in Philly. You know, being closer to the media capital of the world, you're going to get more of those types of personalities.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it didn't really feel, you know, too much of that. I didn't really get all the heat that it was getting from Whitlock as much, man. So it's a little funny because I remember Stephen A. coming into the locker room when I was in Philly. Then, of course, Whitlock, and then sees guys on the national stage doing a thing, man. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like it or love it, you know, I'll let y'all decide that. So yeah,
you had Eskin and you had Stephen A. Smith. You had two of the big Eskin's still the same way in Philadelphia. And Stephen A. Smith is, bombastic still, I'm sure, but, you know, probably mm-hmm. lesser back then. But over time, he got more of a personality, probably.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So slow down a little bit, you know. You know, Howard is he's always been that guy. Always been that guy. So I don't think he'll ever change. He's like my man, what's his name? Up in New York. Dang, God, I see his face. With the curly hair. With Robin. What's his name? Howard Matt. Stern. No, that's what I was
saying. Oh, Howard Stern. Oh,
okay. Just like a Matt. Guy like that, right? Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's like a mad dog, Chris Russell. mm-hmm. So, yeah, so tonight we're going to get into some good stuff. Some, you know, stuff we probably, you know, we kind of mentioned the other day on the Monday show. I talked about the bug situation, which I saw more details today about that. It's a really, really unfortunate, ugly situation. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into some LRZ talk for our LRZ peeps in the chat tonight. Yeah. Of course, it's not a Chief Concerns episode without giving tight ends some love. So we got a nice tight end university segment we're going to be talking about on the show as well. And then, of course, new updates in Kansas City. The Chiefs may be going to Kansas. More updates on that whole thing. So lots of variables in this episode. So a lot of different nuggets in this one. So
okay, good. Hey, Newt, I see y'all here. I'm back on LRZ. You will enjoy this one right here, man. We're going to talk about your boy LRZ. All right? I got two. So aloha. Pono, how you doing, man? Does Carson still have a shot to make the roster? Absolutely. I think everybody has a chance to make a roster right now, and it's early. He and Isaiah and Tanner would be awesome. I think so too. I think they would be a good fit. We'll see how they'll look, what they decide. But I like Carson Steele. He'll bring something to the table. What's up, Justin Garcia? What up? What up? What up? So,
all righty. So we're gonna go into our first topic of the night, with Isaiah Bugs. That evolving situation. I'm gonna give you some of the details on the whole thing what he's going through. So, Chiefs defensive tackle Isaiah Bugs was arrested for the second time this past weekend on charges of second degree domestic violence and second degree assault. It is alleged that Bugs broke into Yamya Johnson's apartment, who is the mother of his child, dragged her down the stairs of her apartment. Bugs was previously booked in charges of animal cruelty in May after two malnourished dogs were found at a rental place in Tuscaloosa after he had moved out. One of the animals had to be euthanized. Bugs turned himself in to the Tuscaloosa police before bonding out a short time after. Investigators say Bugs was behind over $3,100 in rent on the home and was served a notice of termination on the lease in April, according to court records. Bugs denies the allegations, saying the dogs did not belong to him and that he was unaware there were dogs in the house. Oh, man. So, JD, you know, an offseason where, you know, the Chiefs have been kind of scrutinized. We've talked about on the show with the whole race situation, you know, us getting, like, kind of crud in the media because we didn't do anything to punish Rice for what's going on with that. And that's still a pending thing going as well. You have the two old linemen who got caught with marijuana possession. And now the Chiefs are facing scrutiny in the eyes of many again, if they don't act swiftly on these Bugs, this Bug situation. So JD, obviously it's allegations right now, but he has been arrested for the second time. So one of the things I'm seeing for everybody, and I'm seeing Chief fans all over Twitter saying to cut loose. We don't need the drama. You know, a guy who I think he played maybe a couple snaps with us, but for the most part hasn't really played with the Chiefs. If these charges are true, and obviously he's going through the other thing with the dog situation, and now we're coming to, you know, the mother of his child. If these charges are true, do the Chiefs just cut this guy immediately?
Should they cut him immediately? I'll say this. Obviously, you want to do a thorough investigation for everything to come out before you make a move. We understand just the optics of everything is terrible. Every bit of it, especially with the animal cruelty. You know, for me, who has had two beautiful dogs that passed away on me, man, I'm a animal lover, big animal lover. That's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. And then these allegations of putting your hands on whoever this lady is, you know, pulling down the like you said, what do you say? Pulling down the steps, something like that.
Yeah. He broke in with a tire iron. That's the report. He broke in with a tire iron to the house.
Broke in with a tire iron. Wow.
And then dragged her down down the steps. And apparently she has bruises and scratches on her arms and whatnot. So,
yeah. Yeah. When you start to have things follow you, this guy needs some help. You need to get some help around him. Sometimes, I mean, real soon. And even if the Chiefs decide to cut bait with this guy, you still try to find him some help. Like, just don't leave him on his lonesome. Like, look, man, like, you got some bigger issues going on right now. Animal cruelty and supposedly this allegations of maybe domestic violence. My thing is, if this is the situation right here, then we need to find you somebody to talk to. We need to get you in a program, get our eyes on you. You need to change your life around. Okay. Now, I'm going to be fair with all of this because when this was happening with Rashid Rice also too, he's still in this. He needs some help. He needs guidance. He needs people around him. He needs people to talk to, all those different things. And so when guys get in situations like that, you just can't leave them. I'm saying you don't leave them on their lonesome. Nobody. Okay. Marcus, if that was you, I'd be like, hey, Marcus, hey, what do I need to do to call? And hopefully you same thing with me, JD. Like, hey, man, what's going on? You need somebody to talk to? What's going on? Is there somebody that we could get some help with? These things, man, is these serious situations because they're affecting a lot of different people's lives. and especially their life too. So that's the thing about it. I think because he was a sixth round pick, he comes here, you know, as the way that he did, people are ready to just go ahead and cut him and release him, right? And look, you know, I believe in grace and mercy. Guys need grace and mercy, but guys also need help. And I'm not going to be naive and think, well, you know, oh, well, shoot, everything's kumbaya. Well, shoot, some guys need the type of therapy that's wanted. This is one of them. And so until he gets his life in order, man, football might be the last thing on his mind. That's reality. Because this right here, all these situations going on that's piling up on him, will get you out of the league. Okay. Then what? And the thing is, NFL and the Chiefs got to show that they care more about just playing football and you being on the football field, what you could do for them, and talk about, you know, this man's society in itself, how you get some help to him. Okay. So it don't matter if it was Isaiah Bugs or somebody in the organization doing this. Okay. I would have the same answer for these things going on. So, but the thing is, yeah, man, this is too many distractions, way too many distractions. And like I said, man, look, Andy addressed this and he's like, look, if everybody's not walking around here squeaky clean and I hear some more stuff and everybody keeps coming up on these things, y'all gonna get cut. Y'all gonna get released. And so New said, I don't know, Jason. Innocent, I agree with you. Innocent until proven guilty. He could still get some help. Innocent or, you know, even if he's innocent of these charges, still getting some help. Why are these things following you? That's the question. And so we would have guys, one of my brothers that used to help out with the Chiefs, and he was doing like all the, you know, collateral damage. You have liaisons that would take care of things like that. Lamont Winston. Lamont Winston was one that would be like player personnel, would come in and find out what was going on with guys. You have NFL security. You have guys in the teams that would deal these things. So these guys do their own investigation too. But also too, you have somebody organization come straight to you and like, look, man, you got to let me know what's going on. The only way I can help you is if I know the truth of the matter, what's happening. So hopefully he's doing that. Hopefully he's reaching out. And he's, you know, at least trying to deal with this because it's important. That's important. So my thing is, innocent is proven guilty, but still you need to have the necessary avenues to get that type of help that's needed. So Charles Jarvis said, Bug said the cops will set him up with the dogs, but now it's his ex saying that. So I did hear something about this. Okay. Apparently Bugs had like a hookah spot that he opened up where he lived. And maybe he had broken a couple of the ordinances a couple of times, maybe noise or, you know, people coming in late, whatever it may be. And it said that Bugs is like, they're setting me up with this whole case because they came in and saying, hey, these dogs are being neglected, this and that, yada, 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 right? So I don't know the truth of that matter. That's something he has to go into court to go deal with, right? That's one thing. The whole other thing, as far as like the domestic thing, is something else. So now it ain't just this, and then all of a sudden you come in and you're talking about now this domestic violence and pulling your girlfriend down are the cops doing this as well? And the thing is, if this is going on with Bugs, he needs to get somebody to investigate these things that's going on too, right? Corruption. So innocent until proven guilty, for sure. But make sure you make a case. You got to make sure you stay out of all the limelight. Get away from it all. Whatever you have to do to make sure of that. And if that's the case, you make sure you make it noted. You put it into history. You have a trail system that covers what you're doing, right? So you say that, man, this is what's going on with me, but this is all being a setup. So I don't know. It's their word against his, but it is all a distraction. That's what it is. So,
and that's the one thing, the one commonality. I mean, everyone's pretty much, I think like 95% of what I've seen online is Chiefs fans saying they want him gone. And you bring up the Rashee Rice situation. yes, what he did was reckless, and what he did was, but one of the things I've seen is, okay, we picked up Bugs in January. He played in like one game for us. And, you know, like he's not really a contributor to his team, whereas Rice will, I guess, and looking at it, the juice isn't worth the squeeze with Bugs with his situation. Whereas Rice has shown, I mean, he's been a productive guy for our team. And so, okay, we'll put up with the BS with a guy who's a contributor, but yeah, we're not going to put up with the BS with a guy who's barely even played with his team, a guy who's already been around five NFL teams, Pittsburgh, Raiders, Detroit, and then us. So we're the fourth team. So it's like, we're not going to put up with, we're not going to have distractions of the guy who's not contributing to the team. It's like kind of, it's worthless to the Chiefs to do it at that point. And now it's going to become noise now, because now you lump in everything together. You lump in what Rice did this offseason, what our two O-linemen did, Wanye, and then this now. And it's like, this is like, okay, it's another thing to everything else. And it's like, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, it's a pattern in a way of, you know, one's violence to dogs, one's violence to a woman or another person. It's kind of a pattern of his behavior. And it's like, yes, regardless, the Chiefs do cut him or keep him, which I do think, just to get away from the distraction, if this stuff is true, you do away with it. But I'm sure NFLPA has resources they can allocate to help out players if they are going through some rough stuff.
100%, and that's what I was going to say next is that he needs to get in contact with the NFLPA. He needs to get in contact with the team security guys, police officers on the team, and talk to them about everything that's going on. So the NFL has resources. If he feels like he's being set up and everything doesn't look, rosy, then he can definitely deal with it. He absolutely can. The question goes into, does this go into, like you were saying, a pattern? The different teams he's played with, is this something that they've known and was like they was ready to get rid of him for? And so, like you said, somebody said he's not too much noise for zero plays or snaps. Yo, it's gotta go. Hey, man. Treat everybody fair, but you don't treat everybody the same. That's the reality of it. Justin, that's how it works in the NFL. You treat everybody fair, but not everybody's the same. So Rashee Rice is going to have a little bit more leeway. Guy's a sixth-round pick that's been around the league for two or three different teams. They're going to cut him. They're going to let him go. And so, especially if you can't prove that these things are happening to you, then they ain't got no time for that. And even he might want to say, well, look, maybe I need some time off because these things are going on with me. I need to get these things in order. So I think that's what has to happen, man. But to be honest, the whole scope of it is really bad optics. We don't want no more stuff happening with the Chiefs, man. What else needs to go on? I mean, honestly, this has been, when I'm talking about a roller coaster of week in, week out, or, you know, every week, every month, something new is popping off the Chiefs, man. Enough of that. Enough of that, man. So I'm sure, and like I said, Andy's made it clear, if y'all get into any more mess, then your butt is gone. You're out of here. Period. I don't care. You know, he'll say, I don't care who you are. Well, you know, other people's got, you know, the past, and that some others don't. So,
yeah, it's a really unfortunate situation. But I mean, it's a distraction, kind of what we said. The juice isn't worth the squeeze at this point. A guy who's played no snaps for us. Cause I mean, I have people who aren't Chief fans ask me, what's going on with your organization? It's like, okay, let's relax here. This guy was signed a couple months ago. Okay, barely played with us. Signed him in January after he was cut by the Lions. It's not an organizational thing. This guy just came to the door. You know, some guys are dealing with different things. You know, but I mean, it's not a Chiefs organizational thing. It's a really bad. It looks awful. I'm not gonna lie about that. The optics, like you said, it looks horrible. It looks like we just don't care at all about anything. But, like, you know, it's just bad timing in a lot of these things.
Look, man, these are grown men, okay? These are grown men with lives. They make a decision. Everything is their decision. It's conscious decision about what they're doing. Rashee Rice made the decision about it. It was boneheaded. It was a stupid play. It was stupid. It's a stupid call. He's an adult. He was grown. He's got to deal with the consequences. Just like everybody else, like Wanye, the other guy, like Bugs, Like everybody that did, you got to deal with the consequences of what you do and what you say. Okay. And so it's just being whirlwind after whirlwind of things happening. So he's grown people. But you can't hold your hand on everything. Can't do it. So you got to police yourself. So if you want to play in this league, you see this right here, this logo, NFL, you want to play here? You want to play here? Police yourself. Get yourself in order. How about that? Okay, I'm going to leave it there with it, Marcus. Yeah. Shoot. I ain't got time for that. We ain't got time for that. I'm going to my whole coaches, man. We ain't got time for that. Gotta let you go. All right? If you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, all right, you're going to kick yourself off.
Yeah, right there with you. And plus, like you said, like even if you want to even compare the Rice and Bug situation, well, one, there's no pattern here. Obviously, the reports came out like after this whole thing happened this summer that, oh, Rice had stuff, red flags coming out of college, but we didn't hear about this till now. But one's coming off his first year, this guy's been in the league for a long time. It's not apples to apples. Oh, they're both like, you know, young guys, you know, coming out of college, you know, they don't really know how to handle the limelight of being professionals. Well, this guy's been around for 4 or 5 years now. So it's like
5 years. He's got 5 years that he's played. So that's where he is. So, yeah. He knows better. He absolutely knows better. So, that's how it works, man. That's how it works. NFL not for long. If you shoot yourself in the foot, you sabotage your own career, it's on you. It's on you. They can only help you so much. At that certain point, man, you got to get it together yourself. So,
yep. So we're going to go into a little bit of a lighter note here. We're going to go into tight end university is back in session for the fourth year, JD. And Travis Kelce had some good stuff to say about the tight end position. And I honestly, when I heard it, I was like, you know, this is perfect content for the show. And I have to have JD react to it. So this is Travis Kelce talking about why he loves the tight end position at the opening night, I guess, 2 nights ago. So here we go. Here's Travis on tight ends.
The biggest thing I wanted to let all the tight ends here know is that we do have the best position on the field. It is the best, and it's the best because we're all in open arms. We're all the most relatable guys. We're all the plumber, the utility guy, the landscaper, the electrician. You need a guy, we are the guy. And that's why I love playing tight end. So if you guys are here, don't be afraid, man. Don't be afraid to have a beer. Don't be afraid to shake a hand and ask a question. And ask your fellow guys across the league what they saw on a certain route or what they think about going into a game, man. That's why we're here. We're here to get better, and we're here to have a good-ass time, baby. So fire the f*** up!
Thank you all. Have a great night. See you.
All right, man.
Love it. I love it. I love it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What did you make? I just thought that was wholesome content for our show with you, a tight end, you know, and we have tight end alums on the show, and it's like, you're in that. And I've heard elements of you talk about this before, how a tight end is much more than just a standard position like that. But kind of talk about what you heard and what Travis talking, describing the position like that.
Oh, man, he was spot on with everything. I mean, look, he said, you know, we are the guy, and we are. We are the utility guys. We are the guys that kind of do it all. We got to know everything on the offense. We got to know the blocking scheme, the passing scheme, the run blocking. We know it's just as much as the quarterback, if not more, as far as like scheme wise of doing things. And so if you're in a pinch, the guy you look for is a tight end. Like you said, the plumber or the electrician or, you know, somebody, the landscaper, somebody that's going to come in on the clutch, you know, he's going to be your guy. This is somebody like, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger comes in saving a day, right? Or Jason Statham or you know, Vin Diesel. How about that, right? Well, The Rock comes in. And these guys, man, what we do, man, we kind of take care of it all. We are the jack of all trades, and I'll say master of many is what I want to say, okay? And we get to know everybody. We know the offensive linemen. We're cool with them. We're cool with the wide receivers. We're cool with the running backs. We're cool with the quarterbacks. We're cool with the defense, linebackers, corner safeties. Like, that's kind of our world. We are like you know, if any group in the locker room could gel with anyone, it would be the tight ends. That's where I look at it. I mean, I look at my feed now when I'm talking to my guys, and I got everybody on the DBs, O-line, running backs. You know, I got all those guys on there. And sometimes those guys in those positions are very particular. They kind of stay within their own. DBs usually stay within the DBs, right? They go hang out with each other. But, you know, we got enough of the pizzazz and a little bit of like that swag and the coolness about us that, you know, we right in there with them. Okay, there's no denying that, none whatsoever. We the one to keep the party going, like Travis is showing right there, like George Kittle is showing right there. We the ones, man, to bring some of the excitement. And so I agree with him 100%. That's how we've always known tight ends to be. And so that, I do believe, is one of the greatest positions on the field. Now, I do believe we need to be paid as such. I don't think they look at it and you know, value the position until, you know, these past couple of years, the way that they should. So you start looking at the production of some of these guys, man, there's no reason these guys shouldn't be up there in the top of echelon about being paid. So a great tight end on the team, man, is a problem. It is an absolute problem, man. So I agree with everything Travis said, man. I really do. I really do. So.
Yeah, so eloquently put too, the way he kind of like, you know, he kind of let you know it's like the realest position on the field. Like, you know, it's like that, it's that guy, you know, it's like we are the guy. You need a guy, we're that guy that we'll do it for you. And it's true. Yeah. Like, I mean, especially with our team, we got tight ends doing QB sneaks and whatnot, you know, it's toughest player on the field, you know, because, and what you've talked about too, it's not only that, but you have to know literally everything. You got to know everything. The blocking assignments, you know, the routes, you know, it's
pass protection. Yeah.
Everything.
Yes. Motions. All. I mean, we need to know it all. I seen somebody that was talking about the other day. I guess they showed like a video of John Gruden giving the play call to a quarterback, and the quarterback kept messing it up. And so the guy was trying to explain all you had to do was listen to what you had to do, and then you could leave the huddle. And I'm just like, no. That's not how it works. For tight end, we got to know all of it. We got to know exactly what the formation, we got to know what the motion is, we know what the shift is, we got to know what the pass protection is, we got to know what the play is. And so we have to know all of it. We got to hear all those things. So the guy was, I was just like, you know, just, I, you know, politely disagreed. And I'm just like, look, I played on Gruden. I know exactly what he said, and it's pretty much the same. So, no, we got to know it all. We got to know it all. But yeah, no doubt about it, man. We tight ends, man. We stick together, but we could absolutely jail with anybody, man. That's how we are. That's who we are. So,
your thoughts on coming? We talked about this when this was the thing like 4 years ago when it first started. I mean, your thoughts on this thing kind of like being what it is now, it's the annual event now. I mean,
yeah.
And I believe, was it Dak Prescott there? I think like a big time quarterback was there throwing passes with the tight ends too. And they had one of the top guys.
This past year?
This year, yeah. The one this week.
Oh, okay.
It's become this huge thing.
Yeah. I didn't get to see any of it. I didn't get to see any of it. I'm this right here. You know, obviously, I'm kind of off Twitter a little bit, you know, floating around Father's Day weekend, all of that, enjoying the time.
It's the off season.
It's off season, man. So, yeah, take care of yourself. But that's good to hear. That's good to hear. But you got to have a solid guy throwing the balls to you. But nah, man, this tight end you was a brilliant, brilliant thing to put together between him and
Kittle and Gregory.
Yeah. So I think, man, it was a wonderful thing, especially for young guys coming in. And this was what I was kind of talking, I was alluding to, was saying it. Somebody was talking about this earlier. I think I was trying to read this. Somebody said Kelce Sure is changing the tight end position. They're doing things a lot better than what we were doing, of course, like getting these guys together. Like that man, we should have been doing things like that. But you know how he was talking about like in the NBA, like his guys are all friends off the field? And we just, you know, the social media has opened up the door for guys just to be a little bit more available to one another, to come see you, come work together, which is a beautiful thing. But I wish we had it back in the day, man. That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. We could have been talking about contractual talks back then. And so I'm glad they're doing it now because it was past due, man. But who could have did it better than, you know, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and those guys, right? Putting it together. So
I got a few questions from the chat to you, JD. One was from our guy, Pono Kawaii. Hey, Jason, at what point did Travis surpass Tony G's accolades in your mind?
He hasn't. Pono, he hasn't. He's well on his way. If anybody's nipping at the heels, it's Travis. Travis is there. Travis is, he has stamped out like a whole different category with tight ends on what he does. What he has done is he has expanded it, right, to the things that tight ends do, which I'm very appreciative of. And so some of the accolades that he has, because he's been so vital in our offense and the thing he's just been able to do, man, has been incredible. Accolades, man, TG still's got, you know, Travis in a lot, you know, a couple of categories, a few categories. And it's all going to see if Travis plays enough years to surpass all the things that Tony has done. But, man, these guys are, shoot. I always say, man, these two are the best tight ends ever played a game. So Travis still got a little bit more work to do, man, to surpass Tony. Obviously, the Super Bowl rings is you got to consider that. The 1,000 yards every year that he's been able to get, the catches and whatnot. But also, too, in the context, I understand it's a different offense. It's a different type of way that you play the game now than when we played it. And so I don't want people to miss that, because I think sometimes when you do that, nobody takes in the context of the whole picture. Shoot, our boy, man, Lance don't do that. He, you know, Travis, I'm like, shoot, Travis is a bad boy, but I think we keep forgetting with TG the things that he was able to do. Like, you know, I mean, single-handedly what he was able to do out there on the field.
TG's, the offense, it's entirely different, right? The offense is just today in general. Continuity at the quarterback position outside of what those 3 or 4 years with Trent, I mean, and then those few years with Matt Ryan, he had quarterback carousel for much of his career. Yeah. So you never had continuity. And yeah, just the offenses were totally different. So you can't, it's tough to compare the now stuff versus the back in the day stuff. I hate when people get into that comparison stuff. I mean, as Chief fans, it's awesome that we were able to witness Tony G for as long as we did and Jason Dunn. And also as well as being able to see what Travis Kelce has become and what he is now on this team. So we're a lucky fan base to have that. You know, no, Packers man. Have, you know, to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love potentially. You know, we have that, but from the tight end position.
And, absolutely. Know. No, absolutely. I think you get into it, having people slice it for, you know, how they feel about Tony and Travis. You know, being one or two, how they change it. I say we always have the best tight ends that ever played a game. How you took it? But my thing is, when I look at, like, TG had 83 catches his last year in the league, 17 years. He had 83 catches. Could have probably caught more. So that's – those things and I think he only missed, one game? Yeah, Tony only missed one game his entire career.
Iron Man.
Look, Jogo is a machine. People understand, man, when I'm telling you, like, a machine could work out, play, come out there, would never get tired. TG had it about him, you know. I watched it firsthand. That's why I'm sitting there like, look, if people don't understand, I understand, you know, because I watched the Joker. Yeah. Mark Bavaro, another good tight end, man. There's some great tight ends in the days. Great tight ends. Keith Jackson, shoot, you want to talk about my brother Ben up there in New England. I'm trying to think, man, who Eric Green, Pittsburgh, man, we could go on and on. Just naming tight ends, man. Just back in the day, right? Kellen Winslow, Senior, you know, who Al Saunders believe is still the greatest tight end ever to play the game, right? So you had different camps of people who believe Casper. In certain things. Yeah, and then of course people want to throw in Gronk. Oh, Gronk is, you know, the greatest, and all, you know, people have their own opinion about it. That's what they're gonna do. And look, hey man, how you feel is how you feel, right? Yep. So
we got a question from Kathy. JD, not a lot of talk on Noah Gray. He's a solid tight end. Your thoughts?
You know what, Kathy? It's a really good question. Very interesting. Noah Gray is such a solid tight end, a solid dude, that when you're not talking about him, that's probably a good thing. Because he's solidified. That's why when you call him a solid tight end, I mean, they know he's – they can hang a hat on a Noah Gray. He'll know everything that, you know, you need to do on the offense. He's a guy that could come in, like we was talking about before, Johnny on the spot. He could come block. He could be in the backfield. He could be in the slot. He could be on the outside. Noah Gray could do it all. But he's been a solid guy for us ever since he got here. I told you, I wanted Noah Gray when he came out of college. I thought it was a great pick for us. So, you know, he does a great job, man. He did a great job. Now, obviously, we know, you know, with Jared coming in, there's going to be some things that he's going to get. We know he's going to get some looks in the red zone. Irv Smith is another guy. So we got four legitimate tight ends, good tight ends. And barring that none of these guys get hurt, I think you try to at least, Illy Beeman. I think you try to keep all four. I do. Especially if you're not going to keep, like you said, the fullback. Not going to do a Carson Steele. Then you keep a Noah Gray. You keep a Irv Smith. Okay. Those guys can still give you those things. Carson Steele gives you the he can run the football. We know that. So pass blocking from the backfield, the tight ends can necessarily do. Jack of all trades, we can do all those things. Noah has that ability about him. No question about it. Mike Dicker, yeah, I didn't name him. Newt, there's too many tight ends to name, brother. There's too many tight ends to name. I'm not leaving anybody out. I don't want to disrespect anybody for doing that. So.
All right, so we're going to get to Newt. We're going to get to your guy now. It's the LRZ craze. It's real, JD. It's a real thing. In a time where marketability matters more than ever in sports, the Chiefs may have stumbled upon something that may rival only Taylor Swift as far as growing the Chiefs Kingdom brand globally. That is Luis Reese Zemmitt, the LRZ craze. So according to NFL Shop of Europe, the three best-selling jerseys right now are number one, Travis Kelce, number two, Patrick Mahomes, and number three, LRZ. So, JD, we've talked about how there's a huge learning curve to go from rugby to football, and also how his versatility to be able to kick and tackle may go a long way with helping him make the team. But here's my question with this whole marketability aspect and this jersey selling thing. How much does marketability play into an NFL team keeping a player, if nothing else, to sell jerseys and to make the Chiefs brand more of a worldwide thing? How much does that come into kind of, you know, you talk about, oh, he can play special teams. Oh, that'll give him the last spot on the roster. But we're talking about a guy who's selling jerseys to the extent that he's up there with Pat and Kelce in the NFL in the United Kingdom. I mean, that's wild. So my question is, how much do teams kind of value that if we're talking about making the rosters?
I think it's a tremendous value, especially we're talking about the world stage. And obviously LRZ has that following because of what he did in the sport of rugby. And so if everybody could kind of get behind him, by, you know, complimenting some of the things that, you know, the Chiefs have been able to do, especially in the sport of just getting it out there more on the world stage, sure, they all for it. So I think you do have to take it into consideration for an LRZ and what it will do for football, NFL football, right? Just making a global sport. That's a great thing. So a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, does he get? I think he may be able to work to get some playing time because of the kickoffs. Now he can kick the football. He has a lot of ability to him. Some of those things still remain to be seen. Exactly where he's going to fit on the offense, right? Is he going to be a running back? Is he going to be a wide receiver? How's he going to fit on that? Special teams wise, we know he's going to be able to do that. He can run down on kickoff. He can be the kicker. He can be the return guy. We know he has that about him. So I don't think that's a question there. Okay. It's all the other things, right? That we see kind of the raw ability that he still he has to adjust to, right? We were watching how he was catching the ball out of the backfield. When guys play for a number of years, you just got to get some of those things down. The wiggle knee hips, how to open up. That's going to take some time for LRZ. It's just going to take some time. It's a different thing. It really is. So, you know, we can't downplay that, but he's athletic. He'll get it. He'll get it. It's going to take some time. Jet sweeps, Newt, maybe, possibly. We got better guys to do jet sweeps than LRZ. But if you want to throw a wrinkle in where LRZ, he can definitely do that. I can see Andy doing that, like, hey, LRZ, get in for this. Let's do a jet sweep with him. So with pads on, I want to see how his escapability is. Can he make guys miss? And I'm not talking about make guys miss in rugby, but can he make guys miss in the NFL? That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different athletic comparison, all right? I know people want to think so, but I'm telling you right now, when we're talking about the prowess of athletic ability in the NFL, a sucker's top notch, okay? One of the greatest sports to ever have just in their body to make certain moves and explosion and movement in small amount of space. So that's going to be different. That's going to be different. And we'll know with pads on. We'll see how it's going to look. Do I think he can do it? Sure, he'll get there. Like he said, it's just going to take him some time. The more reps he gets, the better off he's going to be. So for him, this whole offseason, while he's dealing with this, when he goes back, shoot, get as many reps with football players as you possibly can. Make some moves, get around some things, get a great trainer to deal all those things. So the learning curve, he's just got to catch up with. He'll get there. He'll get there. So we'll just have to see, man. We'll just have to see. But I do like LRZ and what he can bring to the game. No doubt about it. He catches the ball on the side because that is how rugby guys do it. I get it. Hey, man, as long as he catches the football, no problem with it. I know some of those on the side, sometimes they want you to get up underneath because it's more secure. And so they'll tell him that too. Because rugby ball is a bit bigger. You can probably catch it on the side, man. He's got bigger surface to catch the football. But that sucker comes down, and this is how special these kickers are. They can make that thing drop the way they want to. And so when you come down with a missile, you got to get up underneath it, get your elbows tight underneath it. Marcus, you know this as being a return man. Like, you got to watch it all the way in. Sometimes on the side, it can bounce. And I see it with those pads on, it's a different thing. So I get it, Newt. Hey, look, he's a rugby player by heart. He's playing the NFL. This is the NFL skill set they're thinking of. But they may be like, hey, man, if you're cool catching the ball this way, we're not going to change a thing. We're not going to change a thing. So we'll just have to see, man. We'll have to see. I just know when you go through it, certain coaches are like, hey, look, we'd rather catch it this way as opposed to that. But if you're more comfortable catching this way, fine. As long as you don't make no drops, we ain't got no problem with it. But if some of you start seeing some drops or whatnot, maybe we need to change some things up. So I'm sure he's doing it both ways.
Have you ever seen anything like this before where it's a guy that, like, they're testing it out and it's like, because we've seen this before where, like, teams have brought in, like, rugby players or guys from, like, other sports.
Yeah.
And they may not have been, like, in their prime. Mm-hmm. And, like, it seems like I didn't really follow rugby before this, but LRZ and the amount of people like Newt and all these people who have commented on our channel, they're all say that LRZ is legit. And he's, like, in the peak of his career, but he's making the transition now. And, like, obviously, number 3 high-selling jersey in Europe? That's wild.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. If you're trying to collaborate, this is the perfect collaboration. A young guy at his heyday right here, right? With the pinnacle of his sport, coming into the NFL, this is a match made in heaven. Like, why not do it now when he has the star power to go ahead and do it? So it's not a guy at the bottom, at the tail end of his career. This guy's ascending on his career. Like, hey, tap into that right now. And so why not bring, the rugby people in to the NFL? Okay. So this is giving everything just a little bit more, panache, if you will. Right. because that's what people want to see. They want to see that. And so we want them to be NFL football fans. We want you to be fans, right? Bring this guy in. Bring this guy in. Join the Mulata. Yeah, Mulata used to play, I think, a rugby guy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for the fact that I Haim and Mayata weren't the high-selling jerseys in Europe. I mean, this guy is doing something that hasn't really been – I mean, it hasn't seen before. This guy's never been on the plane. This guy's never been on a playing field before. I mean, who knows? I mean, he may not be number 9 when the season rolls around. He may not even make the team. But the fact that right now his jersey is number 3 selling jersey behind our guys, Pat Kelsey and Pat, I think it's just crazy to in a really cool way, obviously.
Well, we've seen what Taylor Swift with the whole Taylor Swift and Travis Kelsey getting together, that we got a whole different fan base of Swifties becoming NFL fans. They wanted to learn about the game and the rules and what things mean. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Anything that can market and produce more fans for the NFL, I'm all for it, man. For a game that I love. I think this is something that that was important to do. I really do. The Chiefs being Super Bowl champs gave them even a bigger platform to make those things happen, right? Because people want to learn a little bit about rugby too. So I've been watching some of the videos on, you know, LRZ, some of the things he's been doing. It's good. It's good for everybody.
You're going to become a rugby fan, JD? You're going to go watch the Welsh team that he came from?
Well, I tell you what. So I had a friend here that I used to hang out with, you know, acquaintance, and he was a rugby guy. And we would kind of talk about these things all the time, about the NFL and rugby and how it was different and whatnot. And obviously, you know, I stayed on the table for the NFL. You know, he's staying on the table for football or for rugby. But we would have this conversation. He said, you know, he would come out and try, you know, football every once in a while. But he was slowly becoming a fan, and I would watch a little bit of you know, the rugby too. So, you know, of course, the Blacks and things that you see, the one well-known teams, like, you know, I would watch some things they do. So I'd love watching a nice rugby game, you know? Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, I just think so at the end of the day, when we talk about, I guess, because he's got high potential. He's an athlete, and you talk about the potential aspect. He may not be there yet as another fringe guy on the roster, but the fact that he has the marketability aspect, he can grow the brand. I think those are things that if he is on the fringe of the bubble, I think he's going to get it every time just because of that aspect that another guy's on the cusp may not have that edge.
No, of course. No, I think you do take into consideration what he brings to the table, and you should. I think you should. Is that with – well, this kind of goes, you know, we're talking about earlier with the Caitlin Clark thing.
Exactly. Right?
Do you leave her out because, you know, she didn't quite earn it, or she's not better than some of the other people have numbers out there? Or you put her on because she has been somebody who has brought a whole different, you know, fan base to what you're doing, right? And I think you can make an argument for either one. I really do.
It's if they do keep him, if he is a bubble guy and they do keep him, and you know, this is obviously helps him, but it's us embracing that kind of globalization of like furthering the sport, furthering Chiefs Kingdom, furthering the NFL. And then at the same time, you know, with the USA basketball, maybe they should bring Caitlin Clark on, even if she is a 12th man. Embrace it. Embrace the new people coming to the sport. You know, kind of embracing that aspect. Okay.
So that's what you believe, bringing Caitlin Clark. Do you agree with bringing Caitlin Clark on the team?
Yeah, I think so. Because I mean, like I said, I hadn't watched. I didn't watch WNBA that much. And you know, and it's not just her. It is the impact. Like, last Sunday, Chicago played the Indiana team, so it was Angel Reese versus it was the rematch again.
Right.
I watched that thing. I was glued to it. I watched the Washington Mystics earlier against Indiana. So it's bringing people into watching a little bit more, because you know, it sounds like she's like something we've never seen before. It's just that the same element that Steph Curry has for football, for basketball. It's like, oh, you want to watch that Steph Curry game because you want to see a guy, you know, pull up from half court and knock down a three. She kind of adds that element to us. There's not that excitement. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who can do that, but like there's different players in the league, but not a lot of them have that kind of Steph Curry-like range that she has, where she can just come up half court, just knock down a three. You know, it's just, she brings a little bit different excitement like the Steph Curry brought. Steph Curry isn't better than LeBron, but the excitement level, I'd say it's on par. You know, maybe depending on what kind of basketball you like, that could be on par to it. And I think USA basketball would have been, for the women's basketball would have been wise to kind of embrace that by even adding her as a 12th man. She didn't have to play, but adding her as a 12th, embracing that. You know, if the Chiefs do keep LRZ, embrace it. Embrace the globalization of the sport.
So you believe in, you know, markability as opposed to merit?
I think there's a combination of it, because my whole thing is, for example, if LRZ is on the cusp with another player, but they're it's kind of like right there. LRZ may be a little bit below the guy, but LRZ's got potential. This is the first offseason playing football. But you add in the fact that entire Europe, you got a bunch of new Rockneys want this guy to make the team, and he's the number three selling jersey. That's gonna add to it, because think about the Caitlin Clark USA jersey sales. Those would go up big time. Baby, everyone would be buying those jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree with you. I think you had to make a case either way, right? I think when you start looking at it, and all the people that were hurt on either side of the conversation, right, it was like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Who does she replace? And it's like, okay, let's take into consideration what she does bring to the table besides this. And they start talking about, you know, Taurasi, well, you know, her numbers wasn't better than Caitlin Clark, but she's a legacy player. Okay. This could be her last, you know, Olympic team. What do you do about that then? So those are always the questions, how it works. I know, because it's not funny, but what you do see is sometimes when people make these arguments, some people that make arguments always want to talk about merit in other cases. This is the consideration. And then, of course, somebody's like, well, shoot, they, you know, you shouldn't let her on because she doesn't have better numbers. Well, we know she's helped drive up some of the, you know, the viewership of the WNBA. How do you leave that off? So without a doubt, there's a solution.
Yeah,
so they should be able to do that. So,
yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah, when I was looking at the topics this week, and I saw that the this whole Europe thing, I was, you know what? Because when you bring up the Caitlin Clark thing, that was exactly my mind with this whole marketability being the top of mind for a lot of people right now with that situation. It's like, yeah, it's very similar in that. Do you embrace that, or do you say, no, merit this guy? I mean, it's better than him right now at this moment. Go with that guy. Or you say, no, let's bank the potential, and then the potential, you know, the money that you're going to get from NFL, the Europeans over there, the Chiefs Kingdom over there in Europe.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about. Somebody said, you know, it's a business. It is a business. You know, NFL is all about business and making money. So NFL are a business, and LRZ is a good marketing idea, for sure, for sure. I think they agree with that. You don't want to cut a guy if, you know, it's like, okay, he's on the cusp. I'm like, no. Like, he doesn't count, like you said, don't count against the roster, for sure. So why would you want to get rid of a guy like that? Like, you could keep him over here. My question is this his decision just to go ahead and he's going to play professional football if he makes it? He's going to make a career change? Is that what he said? I don't know. So I'm just asking this question. So if anybody knows that, has he said, like, I'm going to make, you know, football my priority. I'm done with rugby. This is what I'm going to do. So has he had a conversation yet?
I don't know if he has or not. I mean, I have to assume that all of his efforts are going to be going to football right now. And if it doesn't work out, he'll probably go back to rugby. But I have to imagine he's not even giving an inch saying it's not going to work out. Because once you had a little cloud of doubt in there, it's like, I'm going to try this out. But you know, I feel like he's going all in with it. And
well, I mean, shoot, become a superstar in, you know, in two different sports. Why not?
Yeah.
What was he making over there as far as like money wise?
Oof.
You know?
That might be a question for Newt. Newt, how much was our guy LRZ making over there?
Newt would know this.
Oh, he definitely knows that. Yeah, it's on the back of his hand.
Yeah.
And Randy Connolly says you can play rugby at 40. So, I mean, if things don't work out, you can go back to rugby in 15 years.
Okay. And New said yes, Jason. So, yes, Jason, he did say, I think that he's saying yes to, he's saying he's going to make the NFL the priority. So. Oh, he said a lot less over there. I kind of figured that you make a lot less money over in, so it makes sense to make it an NFL, man. He's going to get paid a whole lot of money. And the marketing, too. Oh, man, he's killing it. He's getting part of that, the jersey sales. Oh, man. Shoot, why not? Why not? Good for him. Good for him.
I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the LRZ craze. Well, you know, I was hesitant at first, JD, but I'm all in now.
Well, look, man, you're protecting, the sport, man, because you know how hard it is to play and to make it. I get that, right? And we're going to be protectors of when we understand the work, what it takes to get to particular levels to say those things. Because sometimes people say it to make it easy. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. It's not that easy. You know, for the doors to be open, like you got to knock doors down. And sometimes it does take that. It takes hard work and dedication, which he has. He has that, okay, and skill set. And so, we want to support him on those things. I think you were just, you were just making a knock. Like, don't try to make it seem like it was that easy for him. He's just going to make a transition, right?
Yeah, because I'm still on this. I never did want to make the team. I was all about it. My pessimism came when we had people saying he'll be our starting third down. He'll be our main third down back. No, he's not. If he makes a team, he will not be the third down back. He will not be the main third down back. He may come in at some points, but I think his thing is going to be special teams. I think that's where it's going to be. I mean, he's proven he can be a Swiss Army knife at special teams, kicking the ball, punting the ball, tackling. I feel like he can do that, and maybe returnman as well, but. Third down back, no way.
Well, you sitting there saying, well, what kind of skill you think a third down back got in the NFL? Guys like you. I'm assuming you're saying like, dude, third down back are like starters like at Alabama, okay? Like these guys are good. Like they were great at their position. And they might not make it in the NFL because the guys that's in front of them are just that much better. And so – sometimes you go into considering a guy who's coming over just learning the game. You're just going to pencil him in as a third down back. Like it's not as simple as that. And I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not third down back right away.
Yeah. No, he was just saying some people were saying that like, hey, he's like,
yeah, pencil him in on there.
Right. Pump your brakes a little bit. Like we all for him. Now, I think LRZ is going to be fine. I think he definitely makes the team. It makes sense. This is a great match made in heaven, man. No problem.
He's a project. That's what it is. It's a project. We knew this going along the way. He's an athletic guy. Plenty of athletic guys try out for teams every year. They got guys off the street who are athletic guys. You know, it's a project. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But, hopefully it works out.
Yeah. I think, that all the things, like you said, nobody wants to diminish – what guys give and what, their athletic ability. We don't want to do it on him either. I think we're a very talented guy, very athletic guy. He'll make the transition in due time. He's still going to make it. He's still growing. It's going to take some time for him to get there. But he is making strides, no doubt about it. So he's got some fans.
Yeah, and there was no blocking in rugby. So, third down back, guy's going to be a protector for Mahomes. Come on. We're going from McKinnon to a guy who's never blocked before.
Can't do that.
Nope.
Can't do that.
All right. So we're going to go to our final topic here. This is a sad one for many people who, JD, this might be sad for you even being, playing an Arrowhead for most of your career. But so the state of Kansas is one step closer to luring the Kansas City Chiefs from their neighbors in Missouri. This week, the Kansas House of Representatives voted to approve a star bonds bill with an 84-38 vote in a special legislative session. From there, the bill then went straight to the Senate floor, where it was again approved with a 27-8 vote. The bill now heads the desk of Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, whose office has indicated there is nothing in the bill that would warrant a veto. Star bond is a sales tax and revenue bond, and it's a financing tool that allows Kansas municipalities to issue bonds to finance the development of major commercial, entertainment, and tourism projects. The bonds are paid off through state sales tax revenue generated by the development. As it currently stands, the star bonds bill covers 70% of stadium construction costs for both the Chiefs and the Royals, with a minimum capital investment of $1 billion. A senator revealed during this week's session that 5 to 6 different stadium sites are being considered. Should both the Royals and Chiefs get new stadiums in Kansas, they wouldn't share parking as they currently do at the Truman Sports Complex.
Said that they would?
They would not. So
okay.
They'd be different spots.
Yeah.
So, JD, when you hear this, that Kansas is moving in pretty fast on this whole thing since that Jackson County vote, what are your thoughts about this?
I mean, I think Kansas is all for it anyway. I don't think they had anything, no hiccups or what they, you know, no misgivings on how they felt. I mean, who wouldn't want to have the Chiefs there? And so them passing this finance development of Chiefs Stadium is just another step. Does that solidify and say it's a done deal? I don't think it is. Is that saying it's a done deal? Have the Chiefs to say it? We're going with Kansas, huh? No. So that hasn't been said that these are the final years in Kansas City, Missouri. See you all later. We will be breaking ground in 20, whatever it is, right? That hasn't been said yet. So until that has happened, you know, it's just talk.
Well, they have said many times all options are on the table, and that can mean many things. Yeah, that can mean, come on, Jackson County, get your shit together. That could also mean we're looking at everything right now, and we're not going to give you an inch on Missouri or Kansas.
Yeah, like I said, until no done deals. Hey, until we hear Clark say they're making this move, the deal has been done. Just another step. But we know Kansas, we know how they was going to vote anyway. I don't think that's really a secret. I'd have been shocked if it went the other way. It didn't get approved. So they got the money. They could do, you know, shoot. We find somebody to get on board.
I'm checking to see because there was comment from, Frank White, Jackson County executive, released a statement about it, just pretty much said that, you know, it's the competition right now between Kansas and Missouri doesn't really serve the best interests of the taxpayers of Jackson County. I mean, I'm pretty much saying that the flight over the stadium thing right now is not really as important as what a lot of the residents in Jackson County are going through, essentially.
Yeah.
Which doesn't tell you a real lot that Jackson County is trying to move a little bit to make sure they keep Arrowhead. If that's what they're kind of saying, it's like, maybe it's not that important to them.
No, man. We'll have to see. Arrowhead gone. We'll be sad, but the thought of a modern stadium Super Bowls play would be great.
It would be cool.
It would be. But can you make the renovations to do that in Missouri?
That would be amazing, but if you're Clark Hunt, you're seeing Kansas is going to fit 70% of that bill, why not?
Why not, man? Why not?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things they could do with Arrowhead. They could modernize and update the facilities, add a retractable roof, you know, make it so that, you know, teams, they can potentially play the Super Bowl there, so they don't have to go to Kansas to potentially get Super Bowl there.
Yeah, man. We'll have to see, Marcus, to be continued on this whole saga, you know.
So you're not right as of right now. You're not scared of them leaving Arrowhead right now. You don't even want
not right now, no, not at all. Like I said, until I see Clark say the deal is done, it's a decision we made. You know, whatever. We already knew. We already know what Kansas was going to do. We knew that.
They moved quick, though. You got to say that they did move pretty quick.
Well, I mean, but come on. They have the money. They have the money. There's nothing keeping them from, you know, doing that, right? They want the revenue. They want to have the Chiefs there in Kansas. They've been talking about it for a long time. This is nothing new. So there's no hold up with them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as this situation. Because, I mean, this is only a few months. We've got so many different stories on this whole stadium. We got new renderings. We got, you know, Kansas passing bills already to get the Kansas City Chiefs over there. It's just, you know, so I'm curious to see what happens next month in the next 3 weeks with this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I tell you what, if it does happen, it would absolutely be sad. No doubt about it. A lot of memories. A lot of memories that people have. And then maybe just have to live in nostalgia. To just believe, you know, that's where it was, an Arrowhead, and you just got to take it for what it is. And, you know, and things change. Things change, right? But, you know, it's a new day. You know, these things do happen. Things do happen.
I mean, I was going to say you never thought Oakland would leave Oakland, but I mean, Oakland's been back and forth between Los Angeles, Oakland, and then
right. They've locked there. Yeah, they moved back and forth, so we've seen them make that move before. So
yeah.
So Bruce, what's up, Cuz? What's going on? I'm out here. So
yeah, Super Bowl in Kansas, Missouri. Okay, what about Super Bowl in London? I do think that's going to happen at some point here, Newt. I think it's almost a certainty that's going to happen at some point.
Super Bowl in London?
You don't think so? I think they've been gearing for it for last what to try to advance the game.
Oh man, not in the near future. I don't even see them being a Super Bowl in London within 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
To me, I think the
time difference.
Time difference would be for sure, but you know, if you're talking about the logistics of everything, people getting over there and how, and man, I don't know.
I mean, you have 2 weeks to prepare for it. I mean,
London, old different country, dude. They had a hard time, man, getting guys to go to LA, okay, or Vegas.
That's true.
Shoot.
I mean, okay, but the fact that the rumor the last few years, last 10 years, I'd say, that they're prepping Jacksonville to potentially become London's team. That's the team they want to, if they do move a team over to across the pond, it's going to be Jacksonville. I mean, maybe by your time period, there might be a London team by that point. They'll be testing that out weekly.
I guess we'll see, and if everything works, and we'll see how they've just been increasing viewership, fan base, but we'll have to see that. I don't know.
I hate to break it to you, man. Have you seen those prices of those tickets? it's already an
elite. Yeah. but I'm the Brown. It's put it in a whole different, you know, realm of trying to buy tickets and whatnot.
Yeah, the airfare on top of the, just going, you know, the Super Bowl tickets on top of that. Yeah.
Wow. Oh man. Yeah. Deborah Powers, Super Bowl belongs in the USA. I don't know who even suggests that we take it overseas. Heck yeah, Deborah. Talk to him. I'm right with you. That's America's game. Kathy Wells said it's America's game. That's right. That's a lot, man. That's just a lot of just logistics. What do you have to deal with? I don't see that happening, Marcus. You have to, man, there'd be a lot of hurt people. A lot of hurt people.
What do you mean, hurt people as in like people like upset emotionally?
Fans, yes. Oh, yeah. Fans. Like fans would, you know, that's almost like.
Imagine Super Bowl at 9 a.m., JD. Like waking up.
Yeah.
It'd be the lowest rated Super Bowl of all time.
Right, right. what would be the equivalent of that? You know?
Well, I would say that when the Olympics is when it's like you have to tape it and like you're watching it from like the day behind when they do it for the Far East and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just talking maybe just one event, like one like championship. Maybe a soccer where you have, you know, what the
World Cup.
Yeah, the World Cup. What World Cup travels, you know, so I don't know. What would be, when you say this is synonymous with, you know, just this region, what would you do?
Yeah. No, I mean, I just feel like it's going to happen at some point. I don't know when, but the fact that they've been and they're branching out, they every year doing more European games. I mean, they're doing every year. So, well, I mean, obviously they want to grow the game globally. I mean, what better to grow the game globally than putting the Super Bowl in one of these cities abroad? I mean, I feel like it's going to happen at some point. It's going to be terrible for us viewers. I feel like the NFL, they know that people are going to watch the NFL, rain, shine, whatever. You'll get up early to watch Super Bowl at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever it is, even if it is across the pond. That's the arrogance of the NFL is what it is.
I get it. I, you know, hey, I'm sure they've taken through every scenario and saying that the fans are just not with it. They're not there yet. They're not there. I think even with some of the games that played overseas, you know, I'm kind of on the fence about some of them.
Me too.
You know, I'm just like, geez, okay. But I get, you know, trying to open up the fan base. I get that part of it. I do. You know, you're trying to grow. It is a business, right? So, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the game going internationally. And I think I saw a comment from Amda about or Charles Driver. Yeah, so if we move, are we just Kansas? The Kansas Chiefs? Nice. Because it would still be Kansas City, Kansas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, no, you keep the name. The Kansas Chiefs? Nah, I don't like that. Kansas Chiefs sounds rough. Yeah.
So, well, oh, man. I guess you had to call it Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City, Kansas. But I think the area they will be in is actually more Kansas as opposed to, like, the city. I don't know. I think they still keep it Kansas City Chiefs.
Gotcha. It's like with the Commanders here. They play in Landover, Maryland, but they're the Washington Commanders. I mean, it's not Washington.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. No, I get it.
And like New England, you know, the whole area is New England. But I mean, they're not the Boston. They're not the Boston Metro. Patriots. Where,
okay, yeah, Metro, yeah. So look, I'm loving everybody's, you know, talking about what they feel about the Super Bowl being other places and in Kansas. Newt done call me. You are too sensitive, Jason. I'm not sensitive. What am I sensitive about, Newt? I don't know what I'm sensitive about, man.
I think your take on having a Super Bowl in England, I don't think he likes
it. Yeah, man. I'm sorry. Flag football is going to be an Olympic Games. Yes, it is. So there you go with your games overseas.
There you go. That's the equivalent. That's a Super Bowl equivalent.
And like it. You will like it. This is all we're giving you. Nah,
We'll see. Well, the NFL will look at the ratings of that, see how that works out. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, no Super Bowl for you guys.
Yeah. Nah, be good, man. Be good. You know, it's all about, you know, building the brand, right? Getting more fans here. We want everybody to enjoy the sport. Yeah, enjoy cool. the sport. So exactly. I'm all for that. I am. You know, and let's bring the people in over the water, okay? Yep. All about this. Let's bring it out throughout the entire world. So, good.
We'll just add LRZ to the team, make sure he gets the roster spot so we don't need to give him the Super Bowl in a couple of years.
So Patrick says, Patrick Westlake, I guess the game will grow until there are European contenders in the league. I think it's going to take more than one team. It's going to have to take more than one. I agree with you, Patrick. Take more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But all right. Well, that comes to the end of our show, JD. We hope you guys enjoyed the episode tonight. You know, we kind of touched on a lot of different topics, you know, some lesser fortunate than others. But, you know, yeah. So Daniel, another week in the life of being a Kansas City Chiefs fan. You know, going to deal with some ups and downs every week, apparently, in this offseason.
Man, that's part of it. It's part of it. I think it's a little bit more, obviously, you know, front and center now because of social media getting out there. So guys can't really hide anymore. You know, just can't do it. You know, so you get everything right there in front of you, man. It comes up, boop, on your screen. You already see what's going on.
Getting the mugshot and everything.
Yeah, man, stay out of the media. Go home, do something, man. Relax. But good seeing everybody. All right, Newt. Hope you had a good time out here, man. Kathy, thank you so much. Donna, Wendy, appreciate it, ladies. Patrick, about time. Who else? Gary Holland, good seeing you, my man. Zulu, good seeing you up there, man. Thumbs up to you. as well. Let me see who else. Amda Brown, always good seeing you. Deborah Powers, Randy Connolly. Who else we miss? Bruce Cuz, good seeing you. I think it's everybody. If I missed you, you know I love you. Appreciate the engagement. Okay, y'all have a great weekend. Sandman, see you out there. All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. Take care. God bless. Marcus, man, I love you, my brother. All right,
love you, man. Love you too, buddy. And we hope everyone has a good weekend, and we hope you guys enjoy the episode. We'll see you guys Monday for another episode of Monday Morning Tight End with Jason Dunn. But have a good weekend, everybody. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you, brother.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.